The Good News Hour reach you once again, and your speaker at this time is David S. Horn of Denver, Colorado. And I'm going to read to you from the book of Hebrews at this time, and it's going to be his third chapter, and we will read from verse 7 of that chapter. I'm going to speak to you at this time with the help of God on the third person of the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit of God. I think some of you that are Bible students will remember this. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And at this time, we want to speak about the Spirit of God. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, in verse 3, we have a word like this, "And God said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man." And the Spirit of God is one of the most important things in salvation. In fact, unless we are awakened by the Spirit of God and made to feel our need for salvation, not one soul would ever be saved. You remember our Savior's words in the 16th chapter of the Gospel by John, "When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall convince the world of sin." Men and women need to be awakened. They need to be convicted. They need to be convinced they are sinners before God. In fact, the Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that one, I repeat once again, is found in the first book of the Bible, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." When the speaker was quite a young man, I can think of one day I was traveling to my work, when as I was going along alone, something whispered into my ear, that very text I've just repeated you, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Let me tell you, I hastened my steps, and I made for the place where I was working, trying to shake off that thought out of my mind and forget the fact there was a Spirit of God and forget the fact I had to meet God. But let me tell you, friends, unless God in His kindness and love deals with mankind about his sins, man will never, never be saved. But our God is so wonderful that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Spirit of God has been striving with this world from the time of Genesis up until this present time. How many of you under the sound of my voice at this time will remember? Yes, I remember the hours. I remember the time when the tears ran down my cheeks under the power of conviction. And we hope and trust we can say that it ended in your conversion. As for the speaker, yes, I thought many, many times, my soul will be in hell unless I get saved. I realized I had sinned against God, and I hated to meet a holy God. I was not fit to meet God as I was, and I did not know how to obtain sins forgiven, and I didn't realize that God loved me. But again, let me repeat, He said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Now He has been doing that for a period of time, and I hope and trust He's dealing with you that are listening to this word today, making you realize you have need of a Savior. But I call our attention to a second text, and then I'll read the passage that I have on my heart and mind to speak to you from. This time it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Can you hear that word? May it sink into your heart. He said again, "And now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," the end time, so that in the end time, evidently, there's going to be a turning away from the Word of God, and this is what He said, "Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now He takes us back in the chapter that I'm going to call our attention to, where I promised or said I was going to read from, and here it is, in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 3, "Wherefore the Holy Ghost saith, Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." In Genesis chapter 6, they hardened their hearts, and God's judgment fell upon them. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1, He said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time many shall depart from the faith." Now comes a timely word of warning by the Holy Spirit of God, and here it is, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice," listen to the word of exhortation now, "harden not your hearts as in the provocation." He carries us back to that time when the children of Israel were traveling from Egypt to the land of Canaan, and how they provoked the Savior, how they provoked the Lord. But here as we go on, "Your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. That was the 40 years that they spent in the wilderness. They had God's rich provision in giving them food day by day and giving them water to drink day by day. Their protections during that long journey in the wilderness. But anyway, during that period, they turned away from God, and they murmured against God. They complained against God. Now He turns around and speaks to us at this present time. And He said, "Wherefore, I was grieved at that generation. They do always err in their hearts, and have not known my ways." They err in their hearts, and have not known my ways. "So I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Now, many of them that started from the land of Egypt, and they were heading for the land of Canaan, they never reached the land of Canaan. They never entered into Canaan's rest. They came short of that. And then the application comes to us now by the Spirit of God, and He says, "Take heed, brethren. I'm turning away now from the children of Israel, and I'm speaking to you at this present time." And He said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God." They departed from God, and they missed the land of Canaan. And if you depart from God, you're going to miss heaven itself. And what a terrible thing that would be. Now, let me press on your hearts and minds that God loves you, men and women, and He has heaven open for you, and He wants you in glory with Himself. He does not want you with the devil down in a lost eternity, and He's made every provision for you as He did for the children of Israel when they started from the land of Egypt. God had before them the land of Canaan, and He said, "I've given you the land." Now He speaks to us at this present time, and we're traveling from earth to heaven, and let me say, nothing less than that will do to satisfy God. He wants you in heaven with Himself, and now the provision has been made. And then He tells us, now don't do like the children of Israel, and don't lose that precious never-dying soul of yours. You close in with Christ in the time of salvation, in the day of grace, and then you'll be in the kingdom of God. And then He just said this, "But exhorting one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." I tell you, friends, sin is a very deceitful thing, and men and women roll sin as a sweet morsel under their tongue. They indulge in sin, and they enjoy their sin, and the speaker did exactly the same thing, and I would have continued in my sins, and I would have died in my sins, and the Savior said this, "If you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come." And I was made to realize, I'm not bound for heaven, but I'm bound for a sinner's hell. And I tell you, friends, it caused great alarm, and it caused great exercise of soul, until it made me cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" I was reared up in a Christian home, brought up in Sunday school, went to gospel meetings, and heard the best preachers and the best preaching of our day. And yet I did not know the Savior loved me. I did not realize heaven was open for me. I loved my sins, and I wanted to go on in my sins. But when I realized this, "You're going on, young man, and you're going on in your sin, and you're going to die in your sins, and you're waking up in hell in your sins." And I want to tell you, it aroused me to realize you must get right with God. You must get right with God. And as a lost, guilty sinner, I was made to cry out from the depths of my soul, "Oh God, have mercy on me." Well, the Word of God says that God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and the grace of God that bringeth salvation had come down in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can remember the night at about 9:15, when as a lost, guilty sinner, I turned to Christ and received Him as my Savior. You can do that, friends. He wants to save you. And the Word of God says this, that He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. But remember, you must come to God through and by that Savior. Your sin must be put away, and there's but one place that that sin can be put away. That's at Calvary's cross, where that dying Savior took your place and died thereon for your sin. And if you receive Him, friend, we will meet you in the kingdom of God. But listen to this last verse of the chapter 3 that I've called our attention to. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief will damn the souls of men and women. And I tell you in the name of our God, take you care and take you heed that you do not do as these did. Turn away from the living God, but turn to Christ, receive Him as your Savior, and then we'll meet you in the kingdom of our God. Now our time is about spent, and our mailing address is in care of this station, or Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Drop us a line, friends, and if we can help you, we can send you some good gospel literature. And if you want further help, friends, we will be glad to do anything within our power. We're praying for you, and we want you to receive the message. And if you do, then we'll meet you in the kingdom of our God.